This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 198 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's time to talk about the small screen, y'all. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We talk about movies and today about television.
TV.
In order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And it's very exciting. It's the last of our episodes reviewing 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we get a lot of shit about this and we don't often cover TV, we do like to make the effort every once in a while.
Because I gotta tell you, I watch me some TV. I don't get to every of the 200 million fucking shows that are on at the moment.
Of course not. Who possibly could?
But, like, that shit is easy, man. It's easy. Yo, Hollywood, make more half-hour TV shows. I can get through that shit easy. You 1 and 1.5 hour shows? Fuck off.
Yeah. Look, we'll get to that, and I'm sure in our discussions of what's good and what. And we were originally going to call this episode The Best and Worst of TV in 2018, but we've kind of realized it's bloody hard to talk about worst of TV because you know what you do when a TV show is shit?
You stop watching it.
Yeah, you go. Boop.
Bollocks to that.
Thank you very much.
That was a shit idea.
Yeah, and basically you tell it.
Eat my ass! Eat all the asses, man! I actually do yell that at the screen. I've done that many times this year.
So, in effect, therefore, we're largely going to focus on what really floated up. What shows we watched this year from sort of the worst of them, even though that we got through them all, so they're all still pretty good, through to the very best. And then we'll have a little segment at the end just to talk about the shows we couldn't get through and why we couldn't get through them.
Yeah,
and that's going to be today's episode.
There's one upset, people. There's going to be one upset.
One that upsets people?
Yeah.
From you?
From me.
There's a shock.
I'm just saying.
And of course, this is episode 198. 2 weeks from now, we're doing our 200th episode. I want to say at the top of the show, we've got one more week where it's open for you to submit your votes, 10 through 1, your favorite 10 films of all time. We've had a great response from
listeners. Yeah, man.
Got a huge spreadsheet now that's put together. It's really representative. We're going to be doing your top 20 favorite films of all time. That's our 200th episode. A big shout out, a big thanks to you, the listeners. And while I'm on the topic, if you're from, or a new listener, from the Podbean app last week where a banner was featured across the top, and you've come back for another dose, thank you very much.
Hey guys,
it's
how you doing?
Great to have you
nice
here.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, one question. Paul this week sent me an email saying, yo, slut, I haven't got your list of top 10 favorite films yet.
Correct.
I got to put it in the mix, right? So then I put one together in I want to say record time. It's about an hour. I was at work. So I slapped it out to him and I was reading it and I was like, he's going to piss his pants.
Really? Fair are you? I was surprised by the omission of one film, but it's a very you list. And the good thing is I've completely forgotten that by the time we get around to doing our top 10 favorite films in episode second the last.
I was sitting there going, this is so shameful, I might release it.
Well, we did have a request from the Facebook listener community, link in the show notes, should we release our list so people can see them? And I kind of said no, because we're holding on to that for our penultimate episode, if you will.
Yeah.
That said, we have put them in there to spice up this a little bit.
Totally.
Hasn't changed anything, can I say. Our two have changed nothing. The top four films are far and away. You can change, though, with your list. If you haven't put it in yet, you can change what wins, what comes second, what comes third, what comes fourth. So it's very important. If you're holding off, you haven't got around to it yet, send it to us.
Hell yeah, man.
A lot of fun. All right, that's enough of the preamble, except for a couple of things I just wanted to shout out from social media during the week. First of all, from Tara Maholik, who's a good friend, supporter of the show.
T-Bone.
She put this out there. How many of you guys have picked up phrases, new words, and inside jokes from other podcasts that general public you interact with have no idea what you're talking about? And she included us
really?
With several other podcasts in there. To which there were several responses. The one that made me laugh the most.
Yeah.
And there were some great ones from sort of More Good Than podcasts, like Get Some, which is something Chris on that show yells out all the time.
Yeah.
I shout out our good friends over at Shaking Not Nerd Podcast, Duty, who always says, my wife, when referring to his wife from Borat. Yes. Good stuff. But from Dumb God's Love Podcast, a good supporter of the show, a good friend of the show, said, my mum hates it when I tell her she eats all the assholes, man.
Oh, that's good.
Which I thought was very, very
fantastic.
Funny. Of course, last week we did the top 10 films of 2018. We're about to reveal the results of that in terms of your list versus mine. But Julio from The Contrarians said the top short film of 2018 is definitely the music video for the Wayne song. If you haven't seen that yet, we're actually going to stick it up on our YouTube channel. We'll stick that link in the show notes as well, or at least on our social media, so you can follow it there. I'm sure you have seen it with the great work from Billy from the We Watch The Thing podcast.
Thanks, man.
Again, Billy, for that. Now, last week then was the top 10 films, as mentioned, of all time. We had some wild feedback about this and we can't go through it all. However, it all boils down to this, Wayne. Who won? You won the first week, worst films of the year. So you're 1-0 up on me. And in the, I think, the most votes we've ever gotten on a list ever before, you've held on by the skin of your cousin's teeth.
Fuck you.
31 votes to 29. Well done, sir.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
So I are now 2-0 up. And, you know, we live in a world now, I have to say this, right? We live in a world now where Suicide Squad has won an Oscar.
Has it?
And a film featuring Tag at number 3, a list of the best films of the year, featuring Tag at number 3, has won a comparative list.
Yo, man, heads up to listener Jen, who saw...
Bitch, please.
She told me that she saw Tag during the week. And let me tell you...
It was in her top 3 films last year?
Jen is basically a better person than us. All of her fucking... All of her, not like...
Hard.
It's not difficult. But her, like, her movie choices, they're quite, you know, they're hoity-toity, all right? There's a lot of, like, foreign film and world movies and shit in there. And she dug Tag. So what's up, man? It's on.
Tag too. It just doesn't belong in the top 3 films of all time.
Apparently not.
Apparently what killed it for me, according to listener feedback. Oh, by the way, Jason from the Binge Movies podcast, which I'm very much looking forward to going back on their show, which has been resurrected, having disappeared for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Tag? What the fuck?
See, these people are choosing happiness, Paul.
Sean Ennis said, I was glad, this is all on our Facebook community, so I was glad to see Upgrade get some love from both of you, and I may be biased because Paul had a top 10 list that was very closely resembled mine, but he gets a nod for having Hereditary and A Quiet Place listed. Also, Wayne, did you see Game Night? Way better than Tag.
No fucking way, man!
Wayne threw his head back so far then, he managed to knock something off his whiteboard behind him.
Whoops. Oh, no, dude, Tag is the movie. What the hell, Sinky, son? That's not at all. My God, we have to talk. You and I, we got
to
talk.
Sean, don't listen to a word of it. Sean, Dan from Netflix and Swill said Wayne had Deadpool 2, so well done, Paul.
Fuck him.
Philip Wilson had the unforgivable sin for me was the inclusion of Tag so high on a list. So Paul gets a vote. Yep, Mike Margosian agreed. Got to go with Paul, but damn, wish he had A Star Is Born in there somewhere, which you did.
Blomp.
Tag was really funny, but not that high on the list. And then Julio, the aforementioned from the Contrarians podcast, said, God damn it, I can't get past Tag being on anyone's top 10. God damn it, Wayne, you were doing so well. So well that you won.
If you understand me, you understand it.
Troy Spinner from Comic Confidential podcast, of course, in our network, or the network we're in with them. He said, look, it's very similar, both your lists, both top 3 of my top 4 are so close. I'll base it on your 4th pick. If I had to go between what you guys beautifully named Lag or 3 Balls Over My Dick, Missouri, I'd have to choose Lag. So you've got choice points there.
Absolutely. You know what? I have a suspicion that Paul, by choosing that 3 Billboards movie as number 1, is trying to get his name on a poster. I'm getting...
I think it's number 2, you asshole.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Still pretty high, man.
Yeah. my name or our podcast gets on a poster, it's game over, man. We can retire at that point. Look, there were obviously some other comments. The one that made me laugh the most was Nick from our good friend, Epic Film Guides. Wayne had Bohemian Rhapsody, which prompted Joey from the So Is It podcast to say Nick hates Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, it was in his 10 worst of the year.
This is a man who likes Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Like, I mean, her music.
So Joey, when he said... When I heard Wayne's choice of Bohemian Rhapsody in the top 10 films of the year, it was a picture of Rami Malek sort of gliding in. He said, on Nicholas's tears of happiness. But basically, Nick said, you did have Star Is Born, though, and these cancel each other out, leaving Paul with a stronger overall list, especially the top 5. God, starting 2019 with a vote for Paul, I feel icky. Maybe I feel better now that Wayne somehow won. Well done, sir. Well done. 2-0 to you. It's a long way back from here for me. We'll see what happens in due course. One last tweet here from Jeremy from the podcast. We listen to podcasts with Jeremy and, of course, Dina from Twisted Philly. Dina Marie. Yeah. So 3 things. 1, Wayne, obviously got a 4K TV, so suck it!
Oh, good. Now, there's 2 of you.
2, Dina Marie has never seen the Mission Impossible series. So she,
oh my God.
He asks, can she... watch number 6 Fallout without having seen the other films?
Look, yes. Yes, come on. I don't know. There's all those characters are still in the other... There's some history there that you would enjoy if you went through it.
I said, no, definitely you need to see Rogue Nation, but it would also help to see IM3 at least.
Basically, see them all except number 2.
Yeah, just ignore two.
Ignore two. That's a good way of going. Yeah, that's where we go.
And he also wanted to shout you out and say, that was an impressive low on the last episode. You can sing, brother. Wayne can sing. He has a very good voice, and that's why in any promotional material we do it, with singing, it's pretty much me just trying to stay underneath Wayne's voice.
Pull up my BV, man. Backing vocals.
Thank you so much for your feedback on last week's ep. Then, without any further ado, then let's get into it. Then we're back TV for the first time in quite some time. The best and a little bit of the worst on the TV 2018.
Boom.
Very best of TV in 2018.
You're an ass. Is that echoing my bullshit cackle?
I think it did. A little picked up on my mic. Is what we're talking about today. So, Wayne, we haven't watched the same TV shows, which is why there's no comparison this particular week. There'll be no votes. I can't lose for a third week in a row unless I break it up.
The whole point about this episode is just to muse on like the good shit that happened on TV and some of the bad shit, but also maybe it'll give you a few pointers if you're looking for something new to watch, like that, you know?
This is not a typical episode. We're not going 10 to 1. Although I do have 10 shows I managed to watch.
I got like 8 that I would recommend. The entirety.
So I'm going to speak first a little bit, just about 10 and 9. Not because they're bad shows, just because they weren't as good as some of the other stuff that I watched.
Bring it.
And I'm going to kick it off with a perennial kind of favorite and one that's probably higher than 10 list. Although this season I didn't. The second season, season 37, I believe, of Survivor.
Oh my God, you're still watching this?
Still watch it. Still watch it with a fiance. We have a good time all the time.
Lots of folks love this show.
Yeah, a few of the listeners in the Facebook listening community got on board and were more enthused about this season than I was, to be fair.
People who are into it fucking talk a language, man. They go, oh, this guy did this. They will refer the character, then it's a thing.
Nothing more to say about it. It's an institution. You either watch it or you don't. Mm. You like it or you don't. I'm not going to sell anybody on Survivor by talking about it here, but I enjoyed that. That was sort of my number 10. My number 9 is a show which I'm only halfway through, which is why I can't go any higher. It came out very late last year. It's Narcos Mexico.
Hey, man, I'm halfway through it too, and it's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as Narcos. I don't think the story is compelling, which makes perfect sense. Pablo Escobar and the Colombian drug trade must be number one in terms of the interesting stories about the drug cartels. Otherwise, they would have told this story first.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, though? I got to say, though, even though it isn't about Pablo Escobar, this is the start of the weed trade and the this and the that. Very interesting. And to me, now it's not the Pablo Escobar story. It's obviously now just a story, a drug story
There is no crossover. It's just the framing device is similar. Yeah. We have
But the performance is good. I reckon, what's his name?
Michael Pena.
Michael Pena doing really well.
Diego Luna.
And also Rogue Juan is doing very well. So I'm just saying, you know, up, out.
Look, the performances are fine. Some of the violence is now starting to ramp up where I am, but it was a lot of setup. It was I thought the first season of Narcos did a very good job of balancing the setup with some action, something things to draw you in.
The first Narcos is beautiful. It's just like a beautiful
show. Yeah, and some characters were lesser characters, if you will, but you weren't sure they were lesser characters, and the start of the show sort of got offed very early in that. Whereas this one, I'm just like, come on, get on with it. And some of the episodes are very long, very early on, and
it's definitely nothing like the Narcos original. Like, sorry, in terms of quality, like it's not as good.
No, it's second tier.
But it's fine.
But it's also already been greenlit for season 2, so we're getting more of this particular story.
That's cool.
All right, so that's my 9. Now we get to where you wanted to start ranking as well. So your number 8, sir.
My number 8 is an odd one, everyone. It's a TV show called Mosaic.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's interesting for maybe us in particular because it has Sharon Stone in it.
Oh, I did hear about this in a couple of lists.
Yeah, it's a Steven Soderbergh produced and directed show, and you can totally tell. Because basically, nostalgia-wise, if you miss Basic Instinct era Sharon Stone, you may like this show. She's still very pretty.
Well, she's probably a handsome woman now.
She's a handsome woman. It's exactly what she is. She's a handsome woman. And Steven Soderbergh's blue period, like his whole... This show is bathed in a blue filter, all right? And it's set in this mountain town where Sharon Stone is a popular children's book author and illustrator, and her success makes her like a local celebrity in the tight-knit community. There's this fundraiser at the very beginning. She hooks up with this really good-looking waiter, and a few things happen. She disappears. The whole show turns into a whodunit.
Oh, she disappears?
Yeah, and she disappears in a bloody room. It's just blood, but she's not there.
Oh,
God, we don't know what's going
on.
Is
there flashbacks with her in it? So, or is she gone for the narrative
entirely? I will say nothing, but I will tell you that this, it's the reason it's in on my list is this is shot in a very weird way, this movie. It's a little bit like Mr. Robot, where there's these odd camera angles.
I think it's created by the same guy, is it not?
Steven Soderbergh?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking another show. My apologies.
No, but this one, like, he'll have
of Julia Roberts in Homecoming.
Yes, I've heard of this one, but yeah, no. Yeah, he'll stick the camera on the roof and just shoot a normal two shot for people talking.
Okay.
Way up high. I don't know. It's just weird.
What's the purpose?
I think it unsettles you.
Okay.
That's what it is. So it's a good show. It's not the best, but not but pretty good.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. My number eight is a show which really landed hard in the first season, like made a huge splash. And God, there are podcasts to the end of the world about it. And it won all the Emmys last season, got nominated for virtually none this year, I believe. Or maybe that's still coming up. Maybe it's still going to be nominated.
Mm.
It is The Handmaid's Tale.
Now, okay, it's probably the time we talked about this.
Season two of The Handmaid's Tale.
Right. Now, yeah. I've not seen it. Lots of people, chicks mostly, tell me about it. And what is it about?
Well, geez, it's based on a book by Margaret Atwood, off the top of my head.
Yep.
I think that's correct. And it shows a world in which most of America, there's a coup, and the people that take over are fundamental sort of right-wingers and religious folk.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say Christian because I might be using the wrong denomination there, but they're heavily religious, and then they go back to these antiquated ways of...
Fundamentalists.
Yeah, women must stay at home and rear children and are not allowed to work and allowed to have educative ideas and... Those who are, because it's all in
is
a world.
Is it set present day?
Well, it is, but it's all in a world where women aren't having children or people aren't having children as much anymore. So the fertility rate's right dying down. So the fear is we're going to die off.
So these women are employed.
Women who are still fertile are forced to become handmaids who effectively go to the rich folks' houses and become a vessel to have babies with.
How do they get impregnated?
Well, by the man of the house.
Like the proper way? There's
the
no
wife
insemination,
of the house.
It's just slamming it.
No, it's slamming it. Yep.
Damn.
So the wife of the house. So it's rape. It's ritualistic
rape. Absolutely rape.
Yep. So the wife of the house is a party to this and a supporter of it. But of course, you can imagine the absolute difficulties,
no shit,
for want of a better term, that this causes.
God.
So it's really harsh.
It's horribly bleak.
And lots of people in season one and now season two have been saying, like, it doesn't feel like the states are that far away from this kind of thing.
That's what I keep hearing about this show. It's like, it could kind of happen.
Yeah, which is really scary in that particular regard. It's incredibly well acted. It's incredibly well put together. It's incredibly slow burn.
Now, that's the thing that's been keeping me away from it.
Yeah, season one was better. But the problem with season two, and I don't want to spoil anything too much, which is this is going to be quite the statement. Really? And there are people that die. And there are characters that disappear from the narrative. But the major players, most of them, are exactly where they ended after season one. So not much has changed other than one monumental thing. And so I felt like season two really spun its wheels.
Really?
So I'm like, my fiance's out. She dropped out after episode three or four of season two.
Are you going to continue?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it really needs to promise and deliver a lot more in season three. Like it made a huge splash, as I said, in season one.
Mm.
And I was very impressed by it. But this season two was a grind.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah, not my jam, but I could.
But
definitely
so well made.
I hear a
That's
lot.
That's why
about
it's eight because it's so well made.
I feel like this is one of those shows that I could say I don't think so, and then I get to it, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I can see it. That was like Breaking Bad. I mean, for me, I heard so much about it, I came to it really late. Yep. It's like, oh my God, it's amazing. Right. So, all right, my number seven is Lost in Space. I wondered how everyone, because I hear people put this on their worst of the year list. Right?
Spoilers. If I had a worst, it would be on my.
Oh, really? What's wrong? Okay, check
it out. Did not grab me. I was not interested at all. And what? I can't tell you what's wrong with it beyond the first episode because all I fucking watched and just went, nope,
to
fuck
be fair,
this shit.
I'm halfway through the season, so I haven't seen the whole thing. But I heard a bit about this show and finally decided to give it a go. And I thought it was pretty damn good. See, because it's a version of the original Lost in Space show, obviously, that everyone liked, and the William Hurt and Matt LeBlanc Lost in Space movie, which nobody liked but me. Which
it was fine. It just wasn't that good.
I loved it, man. Anyway, I thought it was extremely novel. In this show, the Robinsons, who are floating around in space, they're an actual dysfunctional family. Like a real family. It's none of this fucking June and fucking, you know.
Well, it's not the fucking 60s.
I know, but that's a cool twist on it. And there's a lot
it's
of...
a twist that is not the 60s.
No, the fact that they're not at the time they're not a happy family.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're out in space and they're like going to explore. They're never going to see anyone else. And they fucking hate each other.
If you don't like happy families, you should watch the fuck out of Handmaid's Tale.
Really? Oh, God. Yeah, see, I'd hate all that shit. But there's a few twists on this one that I'm enjoying. For example, the robot is not a Danger, Will Robinson. It's actually a cybernetic kind of alien, which is one of the bad guys.
For all those playing at home, Wayne did do the arms there.
I did do the arms.
Okay. For the original Lost in Space robot.
But this one is better. It's like it's a better looking robot. And also, Dr. Smith is a chick. Parker Posey, in fact.
Correct, yeah.
And she's actually pretty good. So I don't know why everyone hates this so much.
I don't think everyone hates it. I just think it didn't do it for me. Like, I like the idea. I mean, it's certainly a show that's ripe for an upgrade. I'm not saying it's not.
Sure.
But it just didn't speak to me.
Even the special effects. The special effects are really good in this movie.
The whole first episode is basically someone stuck down a fucking hole and going to drown. I'm like, really? That's where we've landed? And Will stuck up a tree and the fucking rope. And it was almost this is awful. This is really boring. Only thing I'm interested in, and you can answer this to me off mic.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the deal with the robot? Because he was one of the bad guys destroying the space station.
Yep.
And obviously, when he crashed, something has malfunctioned in him and now he forgets that. But does he start to remember? That's the only thing that intrigued me.
Yeah, that is the best thing about it. I would say the thread that goes through, because you're not quite sure whether he's a good or bad guy.
Exactly. So that was the one upgrade, if you will, to the show, which I really appreciated.
Wow. See, I don't really care for sci-fi generally, but this one got me a little bit. So, I mean, I'm going to keep going, see if it gets boring, I'll stop, but I do like this one. And
Fair enough. All right. So my 7 then is a real surprise to me, I have to say. I'm genuinely shocked that it has climbed back into my recommended ratings. It's The Walking Dead Season 9.
What? I thought you'd given up on this. I thought everyone had given up on this.
It was desperately close to giving up on it.
It was Cheers, right?
I think I'm right in saying last season, Season 8. They kind of all meld together. And they do the whole AMC thing where we get 8 episodes and then a big gap of 3 months and then 8 more episodes. So it all gets a bit confusing as to what season's what. Yeah. But we are halfway through this season and they have rebooted. They've hard rebooted the show.
You can't do that in this. What?
Yeah, they have.
What did they do?
They follow the comics in that they've skipped forward a whole bunch of years. 6, I think it is, years, give or take. 6 or 7, I forget.
Because that dude's not longer on it.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of the show, you know this. If you're not a fan of the show, you probably don't care.
You don't care.
But Andrew Lincoln left the show.
Yeah.
And so Rick Grimes is written out. And I won't obviously spoil how that happens, but that's about episode 4. So the last 4 episodes, the first 4, so much better than last season already. Which was awful. And I unfortunately had to, for space on our server, I had to remove the bonus episode I had with Dave from Super Movie Bros, where we just ripped apart season 8 of The Walking Dead and said what they have to do to fix it. And some of what we said on that, they have done. Not because we said it, obviously. Just, it's nice that we were sort of along the right lines. Then the last 4 episodes have been in this sort of rejigged timeline, and things have changed, and it feels fresh and new. And they, most importantly, have added a threat, which is legitimately scary.
Is it not the same folks?
It's not.
All new folks?
No, mostly it's the same folks. But but one other character written out, won't mention who that is in case you don't know. And yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought this thing was dead in the water.
Well, they've breathed some life into it. I understand it's not rating as well as they would like it to rate. The ship may already have sailed. We may see the end of The Walking Dead.
And like 9, 10 years? Huh?
Yeah, it will end up being 10 years at least. Bloody hell. Can't see it being cancelled at the end of this year. I haven't heard formally whether season 10's been approved, but I'm pretty sure it will be. So, yeah, look, if you're off it, I totally understand. I would recommend, based on this first half of the season, it's worth giving another shot to. But if you've never watched the show, forget it. It's not worth waiting through.
I already knew there was too much misery for me. I saw like half of season 1.
Yep. Cool. That's me.
My number 6 is a weird one that I found myself watching every single episode of, which is quite the feat if you have my attention span. It's Santa Clarita Diet.
That does shock me.
Yeah.
Very much so.
This is a show about... I think I saw it because I got a crush on Timothy Oliphant.
Yes. And we've mentioned this somewhere recently. Not Drew Barrymore. I thought it was on the Netflix when the Netflix was still
organized. That's right. So Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant star in this thing. And they're basically these realtors in Southern California or somewhere. And Santa Clarita, in fact. And some shit goes down and she turns into a zombie. That's what the show is about.
Yep.
And then he as the husband, has to find bad guys for her to eat. There's Nathan Fillion in it. It's like, I don't know.
Briefly.
Very briefly. You've seen a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was on the fence about it, to be brutally fair. It wasn't like I was like, I have to watch this, and I was told no. But Patsy, my fiance, just said not for me.
Yeah, no, I think that I may be a little bit weird about this one. I'm not saying it's awesome, but it's just really pleasant, fun watch. Again, 30 minutes long. It's just the screwball spirit of the show that I find infectiously appealing. Like, even when it's appalling, because there's a bit of gore, the 10 episodes flew by for me. So,
and it is that, what you said, half an hour.
Yeah, and I'm sure that no one else likes this show. But if you're a Wiener Schnitzel like myself, you may want to check it out.
No, it is. It's popular. People do like this show.
Yeah, okay, all right.
For sure. And I think it is that, you called it screwball. I think it's a black comedy.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird how they keep referring to Drew Barrymore's weight in the show.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, because she's a little chunky, and it's like, we got to keep her fat, because that's why, you know, she's like, they wrote it into the show. I'm like, holy shit. All right.
And I think she's a producer, so she must have some say about that.
Good on her. She's like, what's up? Let's make the best show. So, yeah.
All right, my number six then is, back and forth on six and five.
Really?
So I'm going to go with a show, which people raved the fuck about.
Yeah.
Right, it was on Netflix, and I will say, it was on Netflix here, but I think it's a BBC show originally. It's The Bodyguard. With starring Richard Madden.
That's on my honorable mentions.
Rob Stark from Game of Thrones, of course. And he plays this security expert who, through a really great opening episode.
That opening episode was the shit.
Unfortunately, that's the peak.
That is really true as well. What happens is that show, if you saw that episode, you went, holy shit, is the whole show like this? You'd be disappointed.
That first episode is some of the best TV ever.
And there's just only six
after
episodes.
And that's a BBC thing.
Yeah.
Or a British TV show thing, which is really great.
And great.
If I have a huge complaint about Netflix, it is their insistence on bloating shows.
Episodes, yeah.
No, they don't do 24. That is such a network thing of the past now, with the exception of like the CW, which insists on pumping out shit like Arrow and Flash and whatever,
hell.
22, 24 episodes a season, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all that kind of stuff. We are so past that model, and they need to work that shit out.
Yeah, you're right. There's no seasons
Netflix,
anymore.
Even with 13 episodes, and they're not 42 minutes long, they can be an hour, hour and a 5 minutes long. So we're almost still there. Mm. There's so much padding on these things. And what I appreciate about The Bodyguard is the padding was minimal.
Yeah.
The tension, however, dropped away.
What happened is, something happens in the sort of middle of the show.
Well, basically, it's about, so he has this incident which puts him in the public eye. He ends up being appointed to the Minister for Defense.
Some high up person.
I can't remember exactly.
And he's her bodyguard.
Yes, and hence the title of the show. Then something happens halfway through which changes the whole tone of the show.
Right.
And again, I thought that was brave, good storytelling.
What I think about this show is, it's shot ambiguously on purpose, so you as the audience don't quite know things.
You say that, but I was never but 100% convinced as to what... Whether
really?
Because he
looks off screen, looks back up.
Never.
All right,
not
all
for
right.
a second. Didn't tell. Maybe that's another reason I didn't love it.
See, that's the reason...
It almost seems like I'm talking Walking Dead up over this, but this The Walking Dead has so much redemption has to do for me.
Yeah.
This show was fine. I guess that's where I'm at.
What I think is, this show didn't end as well as it needed to. That's what I would say about The Bodyguard. But it's still a great watch. I think it's a good watch.
Yeah.
So definitely, I see why it's on the list.
But it didn't even make your list.
No, it was an honorable mention, but I dug it. So, but my number five is... It's geek out time, people. The show is Titans.
Oh, I watched the first episode last night.
What did you think?
I'm interested enough to go back, because there was some plot threads dangling.
There's definitely some...
And I appreciated the adultness of it.
That's the thing
so
about the show.
So there's gore. Yes, there was one fuck thrown in.
He drops it. Okay, sorry, everyone. By the way, Titans is this is a geek out. It's a TV show about fucking, you know, like the Teen Titans, which is a comic including Robin and a few other DC characters.
Except Robin's not a teen in this one.
No, but he isn't. He sort of is. Yeah,
he's not a teen. He's
actually
a fucking detective.
In the cartoons, the Robin is in it. It's like Nightwing, the original one. Like the old Dick Grayson. Teen Titans Go. This is the version of Teen Titans Go. Exactly.
Yeah.
The original one that was... When it started.
And I'm not an expert on this show.
Yeah,
shit.
I'm a nerd, everyone. But yeah, this show is gritty and like far more violent than I was expecting.
Yeah, that I liked.
And Robin said "fuck Batman" in the pilot,
which I don't understand why.
Because because
he went hardcore in that fight.
It was
scene.
So they could put it in the promo.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
And there's not one other swear word in the opening episode. I'm like, this is weird.
No, that's it. And these are these breed of shows now, which are harsh, but they're not harsh enough. Like they'll have like harsh elements like that, but then the storyline will not be kind of as...
10 or 11 episodes.
I think there's 10 or 11. I haven't finished it. I'm only up to actually 9.
Okay. Right?
Apart from the fact that some of the costumes are a bit shit, this is a well-choreographed fight sequence type show.
Good.
There's a lot of good shit like that in
there.
It's filmed really, really well. The young lead girl, sort of lead girl, is really good. And it was just a big surprise to me. So it's one of those ones that I kept on watching.
Yeah. We'll get to it at the end of the episode, but I'm in a challenge at the moment for watch movies. So something's going to have to be really fucking good to break in.
I get it.
TV
That's how
radar.
It is now. Everyone's fighting for your attention because there's so many shows. Mm. So I get it.
All right. Well, okay, cool. So I guess you're saying it's worth watching then.
Yeah,
and I
definitely. If you're
Continue.
A fucking
Not that I hated it. I thought it was fine. It was fine.
If you're a boy. I'm saying if you're a boy.
Yeah. And again, obviously TV, I'm much more guided by my partner than I am movie watching.
Oh, yeah.
Because movie watching, I do, after everyone's gone to bed, I watch one or two at night. I can watch whatever the fuck I want to watch.
Let me ask you, you got a couple of shows.
Yeah, we watch Survivor together.
So
we watch
Survivor's
Walking
a couple
together.
Show? Walking, okay. Is Game of Thrones a couple
yeah,
show for you?
Yeah, for sure.
It is the couple show if you
If we were
me.
Talking about most anticipated, it's just like Game of Thrones and then Daylight to
Absolutely.
Second. Everyone
absolutely.
Is chafing at the bit for Game of Thrones. We will absolutely be doing an episode on Game of Thrones or two.
If you guys haven't watched it, like watch all seasons before our next
If there's any recommendation, that's it. Obviously, there was no Game of Thrones in 2018, which is why it's not getting mentioned.
That's right.
Here, apart from right now, my number five is a show that is not for everyone, so I'm going to be very brief about it. It's called The Terror. It is...
I've heard of this one.
Yeah, it's based on a book by Dan Simmons or Simons, depending on how you want to say his name. And it follows... It's a let's guess what might have happened history. So it follows two ships called... Terror and something else. I can't remember what.
It was set way back in the day,
set
right?
Set back in 1890s, okay. And they were trying to go somewhere across the Antarctic, I think, or the Arctic. Again, I'm sorry on the vague on the details, but effectively, they disappear and are never heard from again. So this is
what
their fantastical version of what might have happened, and it includes something that might today be called the Yeti or the Abominable Snowman.
Sasquatch!
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it scary? Interesting.
It's very, very well put together.
Okay, that's a big thing.
And for a whole bunch of mostly British actors who are in period piece and therefore being very stuffy by default. So Kieran Hines is one of the major captains on it. And Richard Harris's son, Jared Harris, is the main character in the show.
He's good?
He's great. They're all very good. Very, very good. You'll recognize lots of them from bit parts on other TV shows and they all bring their A game. That helped sell it. I guess I knew how it ended. And of course, you know how it ends if you know the historical. There's no, you know, magical happy ending or whatever else.
Yeah.
But knowing how it was going to play out, having read the book.
How many apps?
Like 10.
10? Okay.
10, straight 10. Done. Finished. No more. The Terror is a limited series and that's what its power is.
Nice. Okay, good.
Contained story, which is, yeah, excellent.
Well, funny you should mention the BBC because my next show is a BBC America show.
Okay.
It's called Killing Eve.
Oh, I want to see this.
Okay, let me tell you about Killing Eve, everyone. I didn't expect to like it, okay?
Detective chasing serial killer,
I guess
assassin?
So, but I mean, I hear a lot. I mean, The Blacklist is like that. Well, I don't know. I hear a lot like that. So anyway, I come up with this one here. It's got Sandra Oh in it, and Jodie Comer is the other person. And it centers on these two women.
What's the name again?
Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer, C-O-M-E-R.
Sandra.
Oh.
Okay,
oh my God,
nice.
I hope that was worth it. Okay. Jesus, everyone. We worked fucking hard for that one. All right. Anyway, Sandra Oh, right? And Jodie Comer. They
Stop stepping on my joke.
Shut up. Sandra Oh is a bored, whip-smart, pay-grade MI5 security officer, and she's got a desk-bound job which doesn't fulfill her fantasies of being a spy. Now, Comer, she's this mercurial, talented hitman killer who, like...
Hitman?
Hit woman, hit person.
Good.
And she's particularly good and she really enjoys the luxuries of her violent job. Like she always flies there first class and all this sort of shit.
As you should.
As you should if you're a hitman.
If you can afford it.
Exactly. And being a hitman is only pretty much the way to afford that. It is weird. There is sudden violence, but somehow the show is still really pleasant to watch. And I think it's because the show is set against really cool locations like Paris and Tuscany and all this sort of shit. The way it's filmed, it's an odd way to describe it, but it's filmed in a joyous manner. If you look at the way the frames are set, the music and just the movement, you have to see it to understand it. But they're somehow all inviting and easy to watch these scenes. So little touches. The hitman girl is always eating, for example, and drinking because she's skinny, whip thin, and whatever, right? But she's got like a sniper rifle and she's eating this like really fucking like whatever food the country she's in has to offer. It's quirky and cool, but I think it's mostly good because Sandra Oh's character is so good. Oh my God, you've been waiting for me to do it the whole time. What a bitch. He's sitting there like with his like finger over a fucking button like a bitch. Oh, damn. All right. Well, I'll give it to you one more time. Sandra character is so good and fun, and she's sympathetic. So it's you should check this out.
I was going to work it in myself, and I was going to ask who's better in the role. What's the name? The
Jodie Comer
or Sandra?
I'm glad you've gotten to use that 47 times during this segment. That's good for you. Everyone, a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
I stand resolute, oh, motherfucker.
Shit. Okay, let's hear your number, motherfucking whatever.
Four. I think we're up to four now. We're in my top four. And these are the four shows which I really enjoyed through the course of the year. I'm going to go with Ozark from Netflix season 2.
Oh, dude.
As my number four.
Now, good.
We spoke about it a few weeks ago with the Netflix and Swill Boys.
I just started watching that. And I find myself cool. This is wicked. It's sort of a nowhere near as good as, but kind of Breaking Bad-ish time of show.
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
The first season and the second season that you just saw, that's as good, better, worse than the first season?
Probably about as good. About as good? Yeah.
On
par. I think they follow a very similar kind of narrative
propulsion
beat. So they both start very fast and things are happening.
Mm.
And then they kind of settle into developing the characters.
The pace gives me a little bit of the shit.
Yes,
in this movie.
Yeah. It is a slow burn at times, particularly through the middle parts of the season. But then it ends with a flurry. And these last two episodes of this season, like the last episodes of the first season, really do hammer home some themes. And it ends in a place where, had they not renewed it for season 3, which they have, it would have been okay.
Oh.
So there is another season coming. Jason Bateman and co. will be back. I won't spoil it any more than that. But there are some really great moments in the show. And overall, it's extremely, I think, satisfying from that sort of crime, anti-hero type of perspective.
Because I still don't know whether I like Jason Bateman or not.
Yeah, well, I think you made a point maybe on that episode with the Netflix boys that you thought she was a bitch. And I was like, no, they're both equally as reprehensible as people.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
He's not a good bloke either.
He's not, but he's, I don't know. I'll go his way, but I know what you mean.
They're all flawed. The only person in that family who I think is approximately, I think I said this too, age appropriate in terms of her assholeness is the daughter.
Yeah, the daughter.
Yep.
And she's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. My number three is a movie that I think, I'm sorry, a show that I think everyone should watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Barry.
What?
Yeah, this is a sleeper, and I hadn't heard about it until I started doing some research. It's a half-hour show.
Yeah.
Starring Bill Hader, who is an ex-soldier who is now a hitman.
Okay.
Full of great performances.
I've never even fucking heard of this.
Man, it's really weird, because this guy is like, he's just this like oddly, he's messed up like a hitman is, but he just does jobs. And Stephen Root is his sort of handler, who's also his uncle.
Yep.
Right? There's just, what happens is he's that hitman, he's doing these jobs, he's not really fulfilled by killing people, but he is really good at it, and he has a job in LA, he stumbles into this acting class, finds out that acting is his real call. That's what he wants to do now. So he ends up doing...
Did it get shorty-ish?
It sounds a bit like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, actually, but it's more, what it is that this is full of little gems. For example, he's forced into doing an improv scene with someone who's like, just all these actors that are in the room are trying to do scenes or monologues, right? And one of them is doing the Gary Oldman scene from True Romance where this white guy's got dreadlocks and he's like, that thing. And it's like, if you're a film buff, you watch it and go, oh, shit, right? And it's really dumb and funny. But if you get the references, which you will if you're listening to this show, you should totally check it out. Also, the Fonz is in this show.
Henry Winkler. Wow.
And he's killing it, dude. He's killing it. He's actually funny. And I don't know. This guy's going to be like 100, right? Like, he's...
No.
70?
Yeah, 70, 75. Yeah.
He looks good and he moves well and he's still funny. It's really, really... Like, makes you happy to watch it.
Okay. And so, it's the first season premiere?
First season premiere and...
Barry.
Yeah. So, Bill Hader is this heartbreaking... A man made toxic by war. But the pain is sort of shot through with hilarity. So, you kind of... It's a good show.
It's a drama with comedic moments, or it's a comedy with dramatic moments?
It's a really good question. I would call it a comedy with a serious dramatic undertone, but because like some of the bad guys in this thing, they're really colorful. Do you know what I mean? So you can't take it too seriously.
Okay.
So, Barry, check it out, everyone.
Nice. All right. My number three is a show which would polarize people. Some people seem to have jumped off this bandwagon in a hard way, saying it's confusing and fucking all over the shop and
Lost.
Who knows? No, but it's probably the show in this era which is the most direct comparison to Lost. It's Westworld season 2.
Ah, now let me talk about this, everyone, because I saw season 1, and apart from Tandy Newton, it was fantastic.
Including Tandy Newton, it was fantastic. Season 1 is incredible TV.
It is incredible TV, yep. But I never got to number 2.
Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, I believe, and wow. The second season for me, it's exactly the fucking same.
Are you
building
kidding?
Upon
so
it.
You dug it?
Yeah. Well, it's my
number
3.
Number 2, okay, okay. Yeah. So you dug it. Why do other people, do you think, not dig it?
Well, I heard some, and some of the feedback, which we might get to a little bit of in at the end of the episode, was basically suggesting it's incomprehensible, it's weird for weird's sake, it's trying not to be understood. But I think if you, it's a show that requires a little bit of research. I'm not saying
does it ever?
I understood it all just by watching an episode, but I would go away and I wanted to read about it. I wanted to read websites
so
which
it's
are
confusing?
Dedicated to it a little bit. Well, yeah, in some ways. I think TV shows work different to film.
Mm-hmm.
A film needs to stand alone. Yes, you can read perspectives and a film can be nuanced enough to have different ways of reading it. I'm not saying that's not the case. But if I can't make head nor tail of your film, I think then it's failed.
Yeah.
Or I failed as a viewer.
You know what? It's okay to not make head nor tail as long as you had a good time.
Yeah.
Donnie Darko.
Yeah, but even Donnie Darko, you can kind of get some of the themes.
You
got to
fucking research that
shit.
Yeah,
but to get all of it, sure. Yeah. But you understand the basics of it. Right?
But more importantly, you enjoyed the trip. I think that's the movie.
Whereas a TV show, I think it's okay to be even richer and denser.
Yes,
and
because TV is a community. It's slightly different.
And to kind of, what's the word, cultivate your knowledge or enrich it from week to week before the next episode comes.
The
so I think it's a different
aspect.
Medium. Well, it is a different medium, but you know what I mean?
Because buzz can happen throughout an entire season and new developments happen every week, not like a movie.
So I don't hold them to the same...
I agree with that.
Analysis, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So whereas Westworld, for me, was absolutely fine. I wanted to read about it. And I would say I understood 75% of what was going on. 25% completely eluded me and I had to
it
read about
bug
it.
You?
No, but like I said, it was a challenge then.
So then maybe it was a good watch still and it entertained you.
Well, it's my number 3.
All right.
But for other people, and I'm not saying their intellect's less or more than mine, I'm just saying that they maybe didn't enjoy the fact that you're not meant to get it. Or if you are meant to get it, you have to be a lot smarter than I am.
A little like the Bird Box crowd, but not really because there's no mystery in
Bird Box. Bird Box is not. Yeah. I don't think that's a good comparison in that regard.
Yeah.
This is deliberately dense, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. And I think that's okay, but it would put some people off, and it has.
All right. 10 episodes?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to check it out again. I did always mean to go back into it. Just like I meant to go
into... It enriches the world. It enlarges the world. It delivers on what it promises, which is not just about Westworld, though. It's predominantly set there. There are other worlds we now see. Other theme parks we see.
Well, they had to go that
way,
fantastic. Right? Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. Well, similarly, there was a show this year that premiered that I always wanted to get to, and I forgot about it until recently
where
Jordy and Chris Yeaney reminded me about it. And I got to it sort of like a little while ago, like a few days ago, right?
Only a few days
ago? Only a few days ago, and I've seen almost the whole thing.
How many episodes?
I don't know. I want to say 10.
What is it, first of all?
Sorry. Jack Ryan.
Oh.
Jack Ryan.
Literally just today I was talking, this morning, talking to Patsy saying, here's one we might want to give a show to, go to.
Well, here it is. This Jack Ryan is about, first of all, it's got, you know, Jonathan Krasinski in it. And I think he's kind of cool now, man. I think John.
He fucking is. He's married to Emily Blunt.
I know.
That's automatic cool stuff.
It is. He got Emily Blunt. I saw A Quiet Place and I dug it. All right.
Oh, you did see A Quiet Place.
I did. I just saw it like 2 days ago.
Would it have made your top 10?
No, but it's a horror movie. It's not going to make my top 10.
Well, right? That's not true. But other horror films have made your fucking top 10.
Yeah, you're right. It's look. It was.
I reckon if you saw it at the theater, it would have made your top 10.
I reckon it would have too. I actually do agree with that. And you know what? This guy here, he's also doing A Quiet Place. He gets Emily Blunt. He refers to their mateship as Crunt, which is hilarious.
Which pisses her off.
Exactly. Which is funny, and that's winning at life. But anyway, this Jack Ryan, about the early cadet era Jack Ryan. So kind of the Chris Piney, Ben Affleck-y version.
Stop saying that.
What?
Don't compare them. Don't put people off.
It's Panarian and I don't know.
Because Chris Pine and Ben Affleck as Jack Ryan can...
Eat my ass! Eat all the S's, man. Let me tell you something. They were both fucking awesome.
No, they weren't.
Okay, Chris Pine in that last Shadow Recruit one, great fucking movie. I've seen it twice. Kenneth Branagh, Word to Big Bird. Okay?
All of your arguments are like an asshole, man.
And the Ben Affleck one, I believe he was in Sum of All Fears. I can't remember. Anyway.
Sum of All Shit.
All right, you know what? You know who's the best Jack Ryan?
Alec Baldwin.
Yes, totally. All right? And that's what this guy is like.
Him and Harrison Ford. I hope John Krasinski's the best.
It's a different take on it, because this series follows Jack Ryan as he's uncovering a pattern in a terrorist communication that launches him into the center of the Middle East. And then there's kind of this new breed of terrorism that he's facing. By the way, PSA, if you watch this show, you may feel an urge to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare right away. Right? Just a little bit, all right? But what I like about this show is that it's kind of about the legwork of espionage. It's not really, rather than the showy, action-y parts, which you might think, oh, it's boring if it's talking about the legwork of espionage. No, somehow it succeeds in spinning a suspenseful, big-budget adventure around that.
I mean, I'll give it a bash.
Yeah, it's one of the bland part of the job, but Krasinski's version makes it a more convincing case that this Jack Ryan is revered, or he's an American hero, because of his intellect, not so much because of his combat skills. So to me, that's the Alec Baldwin-y type of Jack Ryan.
Okay.
Because he's just, you know, Hunt for October or whatever. He's in that fucking... Yep. Yeah, so... I am a big fan of it. It's easy to watch. It is easy to watch.
No, I'm as I said, I mean, I was already interested. Your endorsement of it has put it over the line.
Cool. We'll see if you dug it.
So, yeah, thanks for that. Great. My number two is a show which I'm going to recommend you watch.
Okay.
You won't get as much out of it as I did, but sure. I think you'll appreciate the stellar filmmaking. And I'm going to recommend everyone out there watch it. What? It is Castle Rock.
Now... I almost did, because Mark Bernardin wrote the comic that this was based on. He's the guy who podcasts with Kevin Smith. I love him. He's a great writer too. And he wrote one of the episodes.
Castle Rock is a show which is basically set in Stephen King's fictional town.
Which is very
fictional?
Cool.
Fictitious.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fictional. Yeah.
Making words up here on the countdown. And it dots the narrative with references to Stephen King's work throughout. Now, I'm quite familiar with them up until... probably 10 years ago, I'd pretty much read everything that Stephen King put out. So to see things like Jack Nicholson's character, Jack Torrance, in The Shining, his niece is in this TV show.
Oh.
And she makes reference to my uncle went crazy with an axe.
That's cool.
And at one point, she picks up an axe and uses it.
Oh.
So the shit like that dotted through. But that's kind of the window dressing. What this really is kind of a mind-bending, and I don't want to give too much away, but very satisfying 10-episode limited series. I don't think we're going to get a season 2 of this, and if we do, it wouldn't make a lot of sense because it wraps up perfectly.
Really?
And it follows a guy who effectively is found beneath Shawshank Prison.
Oh, God!
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Found down there, buried basically in this out-of-the-way place by the warden, played by Terry O'Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So Locke from Lost, who kills himself in the first scene of the film, of the TV show. And then he has flashbacks and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Why is this guy down there? Why has the warden imprisoned him in this way? And the guy who's called in is a major character. He's been given his name. And he's a guy who disappeared when he was 8 years old. I think it's about 8 years old. And was found like after weeks in the snowy wilderness. He shouldn't have been able to survive.
Yeah.
What happened to him in that time? And it all gels together. Now, the reason this is my number two is because this all comes together where there's a character played by Sissy Spacek.
Oh.
Right. Who has Alzheimer's.
Right.
And the first five episodes, can't remember which, you see her being spaced out and weird and all over the shop because of her Alzheimer's. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is this episode, which is the best episode of TV I saw this year, which is absolutely heartbreaking, where you see everything that's happened to this point from her perspective.
And
I cannot
good.
Give any further details okay. away than that, except to say it just kind of like a... You know, when you ratchet everything together,
a
winch which pulls everything together in this really solid way.
This is one episode?
One episode, about two-thirds of the way through the season.
All right.
Holy shit, it smashes it out of the park.
Yeah.
Most emotional I've been watching an episode of TV in a long, long time.
Oh my God, Paul is a heart of stone, everyone.
And it ends with a real gut punch of a moment. So.
All right, now here's the thing. I always wanted to know how you would, a guy who likes Stephen King, would react to this. And Stephen King himself said... The little, like you said, the references and the lollipops and that sort of Easter eggs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look past that because this is actually a very good,
yes.
like it's not that, it's this, yeah, but this happens to be a...
Yeah, again, you don't have to be a Stephen King. You'll get more out of it if you are a Stephen King fan to have fun pointing out the references. But if you're not, it's fine. The TV show will stand alone. It doesn't detract from the narrative.
Is it scary?
There are some eerie, tense-filled moments, but I wouldn't say it's overly scary.
Okay. All right. No, I'll give it a try because this is good shit, so I've heard about it.
Cool.
All right.
Here we are then. Number ones. We won't do a recap. No real need. We're not comparing.
Yeah, we're just messing around.
Let's just bounce straight into it then. Your number one, sir, your best TV show of 2018, the one that you would recommend most to everybody.
Oh, no question. I'm very proud about this one. Billions is the best show on TV in 2018.
So season what?
Season, the current season, if you want, we do that. But the whole show, all three seasons.
Yeah, well, you got to pick the one that's come out this year.
Obviously, so that one.
Yes.
But it's awesome because this is
last year.
Last year, yes. Everyone who doesn't know, show about Damian Lewis, who's a billionaire called Bobby Axelrod, and his machinations against the district attorney of New York, played by Paul Giamatti. This show, it's basically about them facing off against each other and just trying to pull shit on each other. And the show makes you, as an audience member, switch allegiances multiple times throughout the season. Sometimes you like Bobby, sometimes you like this guy. And things are made more complex because Paul Giamatti's wife is an org psych who works for Bobby Axelrod. And so, you know, it's all that kind of shit. Now, this current season comes to a huge, massive upset. And at the end of it, longtime viewers get a glimpse into something they never thought would happen. So that's all I'll say about it. But the glee with which these two fuck with each other, it's like that movie Face Off, kind of, but without actual faces changing. They just have this, it's just fun to watch. They just mess with each other. So it's really cool. Billions. Don't miss it.
Three seasons?
Three seasons.
More?
There's another one coming in March this year. And I gotta tell you, my fucking ovaries are quivering, man. I'm fucking totally hanging out for that shit. So we're up.
Okay, so I'm...
Are you thinking about it?
I don't know. It depends how many seasons, really. If it's too big an investment, I'm not going to... And again, movie competition.
Yeah, look, I understand.
Movie watching competition, TV is going to be limited
for me. I'll say this. If you have the time, give it your standard 3-episode rule.
Okay.
All right. If you have the time.
My number one, I'm therefore incredibly disappointed it's not on your list.
What?
Because I know you've watched most, if not all of it by now. So... I'm not sure really which soundboard sound to go to encapsulate my sadness.
Suck my dick.
That'll do.
Perfect.
My number one is undoubtedly the most successful TV show this year.
Are you going to say it?
For my sensibility, it's The Haunting of Hill House.
I thought you were going to put one on there that was actually on my worst-of list.
Okay, if this is on your worst-of list, I would throw this beer bottle at you.
This gets an honorable mention from me.
Well, as it fucking should.
Well, here's the...
Are you trying to tell me that Santa Clarita Die is a better show than
Haunted House? I enjoyed it more. That's for sure. It's a fucking horror, dude! I'm not going to like horror!
What you just said
suck my dick.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things
I've
ever heard.
You got a fucking effect on this?
At no point...
You got an effect on it, bitch? I can hear a goddamn
incoherent
echo.
Response,
eat my balls, is what I'm saying.
Were you even close?
Oh, fuck! How long is this thing? It's not over yet, you fucking cunt!
Everyone
this
in this room...
This is shit! Did you put 10 of them in there?
For
why the fuck? I'm so sorry,
God
listeners. This is so shit. That went for fucking 10 minutes, you fat cunt. All right. This is bullshit.
No, that was actually someone speaking into a microphone, hence there was no...
Either way, it was a fucking jizz pile in your eye, motherfucker. That was the worst shit ever. Good God. Everyone. Sorry, I understand if you click off now. It's over like Clover. Paul fucked it up.
Haunting of Hill House.
Haunting of Jizz Fuckface.
There is some dissension amongst the ranks of people who enjoy the show as to whether the ending stuck the landing or it did not.
Now, I got to admit, I didn't see the ending.
For me, it didn't. I think the last episode's a bit of a letdown because otherwise this would have been the best show that I'd seen in, apart from Game of Thrones, in the last 10 years.
There's no doubting about the production value. This thing is probably, in terms of production, the most impressive thing I'd seen this year, so fair enough.
And the narrative is, it's effectively a dysfunctional family show, which happens to have supernatural shit happening around it.
Yes, it's about a family, which is what makes it good.
Which is, yeah, exactly. It's also incredibly smart enough to put in references. Like, the idea is, you'll miss a whole bunch of stuff the first 6 episodes. When you realize what's going on, then you go back and you can see the ghosts in the background.
Have you done that?
No.
Because I want to actually do that. I'm like, wait, where are the
time,
ghosts?
Time is a factor. But I have, once I realized what was going on, which was episode about 3, from that episode on, it was all like, watch the background, watch the background, watch the background.
Damn
it. Awesome.
I missed every single one and I've seen like 7 of them.
It was awesome.
So, okay.
I thought this film, Mike Flanagan he's proven his chops in the filmmaking world. He's made 1 or 2 duds, but most of his films are watchable to very good. Then he has knocked it out.
What did
of park.
He do in the movies?
He's done Oculus, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's done Hush, which was a Netflix original film, which was also, depending on your view of it, that was pretty good. He's done the Ouija Origin of Evil, which was infinitely better than the original one as well. Hmm. And I'm missing something else really important there, which is going to bother me later on that I've forgotten. But,
that's cool.
But yeah, he's got a good horror pedigree and he brings it all to the fore here.
Yeah, look, impressive cinematography for sure.
Oh yeah, that episode 6 where it's just 5 or 6 long shots.
That is nuts. It's insane.
Incredible.
It's a very impressive.
Yeah, a pretty talented cast for the most part. And yeah, I think apart from an overly nice ending for the story that it was telling, I thought it was really, really great. And that's my number one.
Very good.
There it is. That's our best of the year in terms of TV. Did we miss something? Let us know.
Honorable mentions for you?
Not really. No. That's they're all the shows that I watched all the way through. Or is it in Narcos Mexico case? I'm almost finished.
Sure. I'll just tell you one thing. On Netflix, there's a comedy special by Joe Rogan. So Joe Rogan podcast. Yeah, yeah, I love that podcast.
Successful podcast in the world.
He's done one, but the latest one is called Strange Times, and I recommend you have a look at it. He fucking killed it. It's really
Thank
good.
Thank God you gave him that promotion, because Jeezy was struggling
for
it.
Oh, man, he is. He is. He needs a bit of help. Nah, fantastic. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, very, very nice. Look, very briefly, because we are going to run long otherwise, anything you just want to bag out?
Yes. House of Cards sucked, okay? We all didn't know how it was going to end because Kevin Spacey's no longer there. And basically, for the first three episodes, I'm like, hey, Claire Underwood is great. And then it just turned to shit. It is the worst fucking thing. And the other thing I wanted to say...
It's a really sad way to go out, right?
Yeah, it's shitty. But the thing that I really want to tell about?
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil.
What?
Sucked.
Season 3?
Season 3
no,
sucked.
I haven't seen it yet.
I call it Snoredevil.
Which is a real reason why it's not on my list.
Dude. I don't know. Everyone's talking about all this shit and how it's good.
People have talked it up saying season three is way better than season two.
Nope. This is basically the first two or three episodes is just Daredevil moping like a bitch. All right. There's a couple good fighting scenes in there.
No.
Like a bitch. No. There's like some good fights in it.
Okay. Thank God.
Definitely. But there is a lot of hammy shit in there. Like fucking Vinny D'Onofrio is doing this fucking 3-minute or 4-minute long fucking monologue in a car about how love is the perfect prison and shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It is dragged.
Wow.
It's fucking drag devil.
Wow, wow, wow.
Snore devil, drag devil. I don't know. It's something like that.
Snore devil.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. So still watch it until, you know what? Now that I told you that, you're going to love it. But I'm telling you, man, this thing is a fucking snooze.
Again, time is a precious this year.
I'm telling you, man. Just give it a few episodes. You'd be like, bitch, quit brooding.
Wow, that's really sad.
Yeah, but everyone's going to hate me for this. I know you people who've seen it are going to kill me. I get it.
Change your mind. Let's have a vote this week.
All right, that's it.
The only other thing I had to mention, apart from Lost in Space being I couldn't get through episode one, was Altered Carbon. I watched the first couple episodes I think that was this year.
It is.
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, didn't really do it for me. But again, we know, you long term listeners will know, I'm not a huge fan of the Blade Runner universe aesthetic.
Okay. It's
very much tapping into the Philip K. Dickness of all that.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Oh, all right. There you are.
All right, that's it then. Let's head to what you guys have to say in terms of your feedback on this episode in our segment called The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
All right, kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the crossover podcast. Matt from that show said Jessica Jones Season 2 was by far and away the worst anything I saw in 2018.
I never got through Season 1, but I've heard that about that.
Yeah, I got bored by Season 1 as well. Joey DiCarlo from the So Is It podcast said best Voltron Legendary Defender.
I really
got
to see
this.
Which
had like 3 fucking seasons this year, I'm pretty sure. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Interesting.
Let me tell you, I love Riverdale.
Oh, well,
I love
then
that
you
show.
Should definitely check out Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Yeah. And Cobra Kai.
Yeah, thought about that as well.
His worst DC Universe, Titan.
Oh, shit. Didn't like... Oh, damn.
Gidget Von LaRue had the best. Better Call Saul. Yeah, I was off that show a long time ago.
Me too.
I wanted to be your house.
I've heard it's gotten good now.
Yeah. Great British Bake Off. Sharp Objects.
I've heard of that one.
With Amy Adams.
Amy Adams, yeah.
Hard Quiz, don't know that one. And Survivor. And her worst, Westworld. Oh, Gidget. I did tell her that on social media. And House of Cards. There you go.
Uh-huh. Big call.
From the Tasteless podcast, Emily from that show, it is so insane / impressive that The Good Place has stayed on top of their game. Every new season, I wonder how they'll do it again, and they knock it out of the park.
Okay, let's talk about this one, because I saw some Good Place, all right? It is funny, and it's a very light show.
Mm-hmm.
Very light show.
I've seen the first few episodes, yep.
Yeah, so But people say that it gets better and better and better. And I love Ted Danson and I love Kristen Bell, whatever.
Yep, I always do that too.
Yeah. So I'm willing to give it another go. I'm interested that Emily loves it.
Mm.
So,
from Chris at the Green, Korean Does the Faces and Aces podcast. Best, Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Second half of Star Trek Discovery Season 1.
I've heard that's wicked.
Titans.
Oh my God.
First half of Star Trek Discovery Season 1. So that's an interesting. So the first half, awful, but he managed to get through it to get to the best part, which was the second half. From the STSD cast, best Voltron, worst House of Cards final season.
Boom.
So you're getting some lot of love on that particular one. Ghost of the Stratosphere said, I watch extremely little TV, but Daredevil Season 3 was Stella.
Oh, dear. We got to talk. We got to talk. Who's this again?
That was from the Ghost of the Stratosphere podcast.
Hit me up, son. Let's talk.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald from that show, who I'm going to be on in fairly short order, talking the top five Steven Spielberg characters.
Ooh, interesting.
Ozark, Haunting Hill House, and Handmaid's Tale. So all mentioned on my list. Thank you, Gerald. Now, a little bit of love here for you, which I'm surprised you mentioned this one from a Duty from Shaking Not Nerd podcast. My vote goes to Good Girls, Big Mouth, and The Office US. Didn't The Office US finish years ago?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Judy, that doesn't count, but Big Mouth is the point here.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's just the most. I laughed a lot during it. So,
Leah Rao said, best Killing Eve, Atlanta. That's a show I want to check out, Atlanta.
Oh, yeah,
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. Could we be any more wrong?
I'm just
young black man, old white man.
Yeah. Okay, right off the top.
Yeah, Donald Glover, sorry. How to Get Away with Murder and The Haunting Hill House. Worst, Insatiable, Charmed, The Affair, and The Originals. Thank you very, very much for that. From Mon, who is the host of the Mad Binge podcast, which is Duty's wife. My wife.
Well done.
Fave, The Good Place, Good Girls, Chicago Fire / PD, Outlander, Big Mouth, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Suits.
Worst, I love Suits.
Not sure if it's 2018, but American Horror Story, Roanoke. Is awful.
Oh, God. I only imagine. I stopped. I didn't really ever watch it.
Thank you for that, Mon. All right. Over to the Facebook listening community for the last couple. A couple of great responses here, including Blake Jarvis. Best Get Shorty Season 2.
I've heard a bit about this. It's a good show, eh?
Seriously, if you love this film, everyone should watch this. There you go. That's Blake's recommendation. BoJack Horseman Season 5, which also was endorsed by Netflix and Swill's Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Ryan Season 1.
Yeah.
Worst, Lost in Space. Who is America and Disenchantment?
Disenchantment is like a Matt Groening thing.
It is a Matt Groening one. Geordie Davidson, good friend, patron to the show. For me, the best TV all happened to be streaming originals. Number three, Hero Mask. This under-the-radar anime series felt like a successor to Ghost in the Shell.
Wow.
Two, Bosch. Season 4, Amazon. I'm a sucker for crime drama, and the development in this is just great. Highly recommended. And it's number one, Jack Ryan. This was exactly what I didn't know I wanted from this character. The blend of the feel of the good movies with a healthy dose of Homeland, and the result is fantastic.
I would agree. Yeah, it's Homelandy, but not quite.
And lastly, from David Powell, another good friend and patron to the show, Titans. The biggest surprise since the first trailer looked like complete pants.
There you go.
I'm now gagging for Doom Patrol. Two, Haunting of Hill House. What more needs to be said about this pure perfection?
Sure.
And number one, which we did get from a few different listeners, including Joe Ketchum from the quote-unquote Guilty podcast, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
What is this?
Season 2, even better than Season 1. The best show on TV in 2018. Well, Amazon, not sure it aired in Australia, but I urge everyone to get it however you can, which is to say, legally. Thank you, David. That is it for this week's show. That is 2018 done. Last 3 weeks, the worst films, the best films, and now the best and a little nod to the worst TV shows. We're now looking forward into 2019, and we have a huge lineup of shows and guests coming your way. We couldn't be more excited about that. Next week, Wayne, we are doing a big one.
Yes, Marvel versus DC.
That's right. All the Marvel films ever made versus all the DC films ever made. We are once and for all going to crown a winner.
Now, I know what you're all thinking, folks. Surely Marvel's got this in the bag. But well, no.
Not if you think back
not
long
enough.
Not if
you go far enough. Exactly. DC used to be the king on this shit, you know?
Yeah, back in the 70s, there was these little Superman films, late 70s, early
80s. Those things still hold up,
the
man.
Nolan-verse as well.
Nolan-verse, come on.
It's going to be very, very interesting. We will crown a winner at the end of that episode. This week coming out, our review of Black Mirror's Bandersnatch will be out this coming weekend at the time of release.
Bandersnatch. So, sorry, go on.
Believe me, Wayne will make a lot of jokes about that. I'm absolutely positive. And then, as I said, we have some big guests coming up. If you want to hit us up on the show, Wayne, how do people do that?
Search for us on Facebook by searching for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast, or even on Google. Go ahead and do that. Or hit us up on the emails at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. And once again, last chance to get through your nominations for our 200th episode, your 10 favorite films of all time, which you can also hit us up in the Facebook Lister community.
Yeah, just send it to us one way or the other. We'll find it.
In the show notes. That is it. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Countdown. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you,
and I haven't
even
been too upset at Wayne today.
It's yeah, I know. Real novelty. Well, this was an op-ed, this piece. This was like, you're just going to go through
nice.
The things.
It was nice. Well, my name is Paul.
My name is Wayne. We'll
and
see you kids
this real has
soon.
Been,
oh, fucking hell.
This has been The Soundboard.
I fart in your general direction.
I know you tried to, which is why.
Holy hell, son, your mother's useful as a cock-flavored lollipop.
At least clean up the sound, motherfucker. That is Noise City. Anyway.
Ooh. Suck my dick. That's a bingo.
Gotta be a bitch, man. Fuck you. All
right. Well, sorry. What I meant to say is...
Fuck off. Oh, right. Shit.
That's all enough. Right. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 198 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Today we'll be going to... fuck you! Sorry, Khan. sorry. Oh, fuck. I almost had it. Sorry.
No problem.